Matthew 6:11, and we are continuing our studies in the Sermon on the Mount, and particularly this passage, which is one of the most important in the whole New Testament and one of the most familiar throughout the world, because it's known as the Lord's Prayer or the family prayer or the disciples' prayer. And we've come now to Matthew 6:11. Give us today our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. This is the fourth petition in the prayer. Having had the address to our Father in heaven, we are then commanded by our Lord Jesus Christ that we should pray, first of all, for God's name, that his name will be held in reverence, and then for his kingdom, that his kingdom will come, and then for his will to be done. So we begin with God, and only after we've prayed three things about God can we begin to think of ourselves. And we begin with bread. Give us today our daily bread. I want to say three things about this text. First of all, that it is a prayer for basic needs. And then it seems to me that it is a request that we should make daily. And then in the third place, it seems to me that there is a spiritual aspect to this. So first of all, it is a prayer for basic necessities. Give us today our daily bread. Bread is the staple food of life, isn't it? Or at least it used to be. I'm not sure if it is quite so much today. But Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. Of course, under this figure of bread, most would agree, Jesus was thinking of all the basic necessities of life. If you were to think of what are the basic necessities of life, not luxuries, Jesus didn't say, give us today our daily cake or our daily candy bars. He's talking about basic necessities. Well, Martin Luther said that this prayer represented a prayer for everything necessary for the preservation of life. This is his list, Martin Luther's list. Food, healthy body, good weather, house, home. Is there a difference? There may be. Wife, children, good government, peace. I think some people would want to add friends, because Adam, it was said, needed a friend, even in paradise, as if friendship and friends and togetherness is very much a part of what we really need. And sometimes when we get into those kind of friendships, we realize what we've been missing. Clothing, and so on. See how God cares about ordinary things. God does care about us having the basic necessities of life. Our first prayer for ourselves is to be that God will supply us with the basic necessities of life, whatever we feel those to be. Some have sometimes said that God isn't really interested in little things or ordinary things or bodily things. That has led some people to a life of great asceticism or self-denial, because they have somehow equated the spiritual life with giving up comfortable things and being very uncomfortable. And that's not biblical. Although later on in this sermon, we shall see that there is a place for fasting, and we shall have to deal with that interesting subject when we come to it, fasting. But generally speaking, Christianity and the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ is not that it's super spiritual or special to give up enjoyable things just for the sake of it. And God is interested in bodily things. He gave us a body. He made the body. In his new kingdom, he'll give us another body. The Bible teaches the resurrection of the body. We don't die, go to heaven, and live happily ever after. We die, go to heaven, and live in heaven until the resurrection. And then we receive a new body, and we live in a new world with the Lord Jesus forever and ever. So he is interested in ordinary things and bodily things. The other extreme teaching of those who say he isn't is self-indulgence. Some people historically have turned that idea that God isn't really interested in physical things and bodily things into asceticism and self-denial. Others have said, well, you can really do what you like with your body because God isn't very, very interested in that. But God does care what we do with our bodies. If we're Christians, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we are not our own. We're bought with a price. We see in this petition that God not only supplies, that God not only cares about ordinary things and wants us to talk to him about those needs, but also that they come from God. We must remember that. The bread comes from God as well as from Superfresh or Acme or wherever you shop. Do you give thanks for your daily bread? Do you give thanks for the basic necessity provisions of God for life? Food, a healthy body, good weather, house, home, wife, children, good government, peace, friends, clothing, whatever else. Money. Can't live in this society without some money from somewhere. And it all comes from God. Every good gift, the Bible says, comes down from above, from the Father, and we should give thanks to him. We should give thanks to him in all things and for all things. We should give thanks for our food, and some of us make the practice of doing that when the food is put before us. Some people call that blessing the food. Some people call that saying grace. Some people call it giving thanks. We're really giving thanks. I heard of a Christian farmer who was having dinner with another man who was not a Christian, and before the Christian farmer would eat his dinner, he just bowed his head to pray. And when he looked up, the other man was looking at him in astonishment and said, "You don't still do that, do you? I just get straight in." And the Christian farmer said, "Yes, so do my pigs." Well, that was rather rude, and I hope it isn't really a true story, because that was rather rude. But it is true, the animals don't know anything about God, at least as far as we know they don't. They don't have that God consciousness with which God has given to those made in his image. One of the things it means that we're made in the image of God is that we know that God supplies what we have, and that we should pray to him and thank him and come to him. And when people are deprived of some of these things, that's when they turn to God. But we Christians should come to him all the time. And that leads me, therefore, to our second major point. The first point is, this is a prayer for basic necessities. Second point is that we should request these things daily. It says, "Give us today our daily bread." It's interesting that the word "daily" comes twice in this very short petition, as if the Lord Jesus is stressing it. Family prayer is only 72 words in the original language, in the Greek, and yet twice we're told to pray it daily. The word "daily" there is a very interesting word and a very unusual word, epiousios. It only occurs here in the whole New Testament. A Greek word only occurs here in the whole New Testament, and the parallel passage of the Lord's Prayer in Luke. And no scholars could find it anywhere else. They have a lot of documents from the first century AD, contemporary with the New Testament, and yet they could never find this word in any other document. In fact, some scholars said, "We think Matthew made it up," but there's no such word. But then recently, some archaeologists found some more documents, papyrus documents in northern Egypt, and they dated right back to biblical times, New Testament times, and there was somebody's shopping list. One of those kind of things that some of you wives and mothers have in the kitchen, where you write things up so that you don't forget what you want to buy tomorrow when you go to the shop. And there was this word, epiousios. "This is what I need for tomorrow." And she's writing up this list. And so now the scholars know that it means, just as it's always been translated, daily, or at any rate, for tomorrow. With the idea of every day, I need to make the list. This is not really a prayer of thanks. We've said we ought to give thanks for what God gives to us, and so we should. The Bible teaches that to us. But this is a prayer in advance. It's an asking prayer. It's not saying, "Thank you for what you gave to me yesterday," although let me stress again, we should do that. It's saying, "Please will you also give it to me today." Or if we're praying the prayer in the evening, it's saying, "Please will you give me tomorrow what you graciously gave me today. Will you supply my needs tomorrow? I'm going to trust you to give me tomorrow my daily bread, my food, my clothes, clean water, friendship, good health, some money, the things that I need which are represented in the word bread. Matthew 7, just the next chapter, and verse 7 and following might even be said to be a commentary on this. Let's look at it, because I'm going to look up Luke's version before we're through and ask if you can spot the difference. Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, give us today our daily bread. If his son asks for bread, will give him a stone. It would be awful if a little boy said, please give me a piece of bread. And you see the Hebrew bread, the Palestinian bread, could look like a stone. A chunk of bread, rather grey. I don't know whether it was multigrain or whole wheat or what it was, but in those days it could be taken for a stone. How cruel to give the child a stone and say, that's bread. God will never do that, Jesus is saying. He would never do that. Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Always remember, when you're thinking of a good father on earth, think of this little phrase of God the Father in heaven, how much more? Means a lot to me, does that? How much more? I sometimes think, how much I love my four children. How much more then? Does God love me? Because he loves his children far more than any earthly father has ever loved his child. How much more? If an earthly father who is a good father will provide for his earthly children, how much more will our heavenly father provide for us? Don't you trust him? Give good gifts to those who ask him. In everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. So it's a kind of commentary, isn't it? Notice how in the family prayer the Lord Jesus taught us to pray, give us today our daily bread. So we're not just praying selfishly. We will be saying, please supply my needs for the next 24 hours. But also those of other people, us. It's a family prayer. Please supply the needs for my family. My dad, my mum, my children, my grandparents, getting old and perhaps don't have such good health. Please help them and so forth. Church family, friends, neighbours, missionaries, give us today our daily bread. What about praying that for the missionaries? Lord, please supply their needs. That's this prayer, you see, us. It's a family, it's a Christian family. And then what about the human family? You see, all those starving people around the world, isn't it? Half the world is starving. 2/3 of the world's children go to bed hungry. If we go even not far from here into some of the inner city areas, perhaps we would see people who lack some of the things that we would almost regard as necessitous as bread. What about those people in the human family who go to bed hungry and some who actually die of starvation? Give us today our daily bread. So it is, first of all, a prayer about basic necessities, and it is, secondly, a request that we should make daily. But then, in the third place, this request, it seems to me, has a spiritual aspect to it. Does man live by bread alone? No, he does not. He needs spiritual food, doesn't he, as well? Whether it's white bread or whole wheat bread or whatever it is, no kind of physical bread can meet his spiritual needs. Now, the early fathers of the church knew that. In fact, they were almost in that school that didn't think this could possibly refer to something as ordinary as a loaf of ordinary bread, that it must refer to the Holy Communion.
Augustine, and some of the great fathers of the early church were so super spiritual that they kind of felt this must be a prayer about Holy Communion bread. I don't believe that. I think the Lord Jesus is talking about our daily bread and our basic necessities of life. John Calvin said that these speculations about communion bread and so on are exceedingly absurd. This was sort of underscored, this view about Holy Communion, when Jerome, who was a 4th century scholar, in a little room in the church in Bethlehem, and you can still see the church and you can still go into the room, translated the New Testament into Latin. He called it the Vulgate, the language of the people, the common tongue, but he translated it into Latin. And he mixed up this word epiousios that I've told you about with another Greek word, a quite different word, and translated it supersubstantial. Give us today our supersubstantial bread. That's a mouthful, if you'll forgive the expression. Our supersubstantial bread. And so therefore, from then on, for many centuries, people took that up and said, you see, it's referring to the change of substance in the communion bread. Because they came to believe, without any biblical warrant or support, that the bread of the communion actually changes its substance into the body of Christ. But by the time of the Reformation, and as I say, John Calvin and Martin Luther and the other great reformers, they said, exceedingly absurd. Jesus was talking about the basic necessities of life. Bread, clothes, food, water, friendship, love, marriage, and so forth. However, that doesn't mean that he wasn't also referring to the spiritual necessities that we have. Holy Communion, yes. But what about the Bible? Turn back a chapter to Matthew 4 when Jesus was tempted by the devil. Matthew 4 and verse 3. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Yes, that's a basic need too. The word of God, the Bible, and the Bible is often called our spiritual food, bread, milk, meat, honey. How do I know that we should pray every day? Do you pray every day? Well, because this text, this petition says, give us today our daily bread. And if we're going to receive our daily bread, spiritually, we should read the Bible every day. So I hope you will try to read a little of the Bible every day and pray every day. It doesn't have to be much. And it doesn't have to be a long prayer. Just this prayer, which takes really about 30 seconds to pray, but meaningfully. So first of all, there's the Bible, and then there's the Lord Jesus himself. Just turn on to John's Gospel in chapter 6 for a very interesting discussion. Of course, we're not going into the whole of this very interesting chapter, but John 6 and verse 32... Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven. You see, Moses did give them bread, didn't he? Real bread. They called it what? Manna. And that was for their physical bodies. Here again was our God, our Father, supplying his people with the basic necessities of life. But Jesus says there's something even more important than that. It is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on give us this bread. And Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. You see, Jesus can satisfy that spiritual hunger that we have in our hearts, that even the best physical bread cannot satisfy. And then there's one thing else. Turn back to Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, and let's see if you can spot the difference from the passage we looked at in Matthew. Luke 11 and verse 11. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Spot the difference? The Holy Spirit. When he taught it, on the occasion when Matthew recorded it, he said, give good things to those who ask him. And he taught it, and I'm sure he preached his sermons over and over again, as any good preacher will. But with sometimes changes and modifications and additions and so on. And this time he said, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Because the Holy Spirit is the best gift. That the Father in heaven and his risen Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven, can give to us as we come to him. Now somebody says, but I don't sense the need for the Holy Spirit as I do for bread. Well, remember, by the time you get to this petition in the family prayer, you've already prayed, Father in heaven, I do pray that your name may be held in reverence throughout the world, and I pray that your name may be held in reverence in our church and in our family, but especially in my heart. And I do pray that your kingdom will come throughout the world, and I do pray that Jesus will reign, and I pray that Jesus may reign and be glorified in our church and in our youth group and in our classes, but especially in my heart. And I do pray that your will be done throughout the world, just as it is in heaven, and in our country, the United States of America, and in our town, and in our home, and in our church, but especially, Heavenly Father, help me to do your will. And if you've got through those three petitions for God's name, God's kingdom, God's will, and you come to give me today for my basic necessities, you'll be praying for the Holy Spirit. Because you will know, as I know, I can't possibly revere his name as I should, or worship the Lord Jesus as my King as I should, or do the will of God as I should without the Holy Spirit. There's another law, there's another force that would drag me another way. And so I need to come daily, you see, daily, and say, fill me with your Holy Spirit, please, Heavenly Father, because only then can I walk in your ways. So this is this petition. Give us today our daily bread. And he says, take and eat and be thankful. The bread, all good gifts, the word, myself, and the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Our Father, we do thank you for this wonderful prayer, and we've so much to learn about our own praying from it. We pray that these sermons will not fall on deaf ears, that we will hear them not only tonight, but take them away with us and really improve our praying in the way that you would have us pray. Teach us to pray, Lord Jesus. Teach us to pray, and teach us to pray in the way that you have laid it down. Help us to put God first. And then we get everything in perspective. And when we come to pray for ourselves, we do thank you for providing for us. And we do look to you to provide for us each day. We don't take it for granted. We don't think it's automatic. We do believe that you control all the forces of nature, and you give to us our daily bread and everything else. And give to us, O Lord, we pray, our spiritual food. Give us a hunger for your word, for the Bible. May we be trusting in the Lord Jesus as our Savior, and know him and walk with him And may we be filled daily with your Holy Spirit, for Jesus' sake. Amen.